we're going to be looking at is proof that Jesus has risen from the dead. And where I want to begin is that Christianity is the only falsifiable belief system in the world. And falsifiable means something you can definitively prove to be false. That's where I want to begin. Because every other belief system, it is impossible to prove that it is false. For example, atheism. It is impossible to prove that atheism is false unless you die and go stand before God. You take Islam. It is impossible to prove that Muhammad was a liar because he had a secret vision in his tent with no one else there. How do you prove that to be wrong? It's impossible to prove Mormonism wrong because Joseph Smith had a secret vision with secret gold plates that no one's ever seen. It magically disappeared. You can't prove it wrong. The same thing goes with so many other religions in the world. They're impossible to prove wrong, except Christianity. Christianity is the only religion and the only belief system in the world that you can definitively prove to be a lie. And the reason for that is because Christianity takes place in one of the most historic places that you can still go to today. If you were to read the Book of Mormon takes place in a place that has never been discovered on planet Earth. So you can't go there and do an archaeological dig and prove that the Book of Mormon's wrong because no one knows where the Book of Mormon took place. The central teaching of Christianity centers around the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it took place in a city called Jerusalem. You can go to that city today. You can walk the very streets that the Bible talks about. You can go to the very place Jesus was crucified. You can go to the very place he was buried. Okay? It is the easiest thing in the world to disprove. All you have to prove is that Jerusalem doesn't exist. To prove that those streets weren't there. To prove that there is no place called Golgotha. To prove that there is no empty tomb. Okay, it's easy to falsify. You look in other religions and they have people that we can't prove whether they existed or did not exist. Legends, stories. However, in Christianity, it speaks to historical figures, dates, times, places, all of which can easily be disproven from recorded history. In fact, Jesus came at one of the heights of Roman civilization, one of the most civilized nations that the world has ever seen. Jesus was a part of the Roman Empire. He was there. They named the names of Pilate and Herod. All you would have to do to disprove all of Christianity is go and look at Roman records, because they kept them, and prove that Herod never ruled, to prove that Pilate never existed. Yet, you know what we can find if we go to Roman history? We can find that Herod and Pilate were together at the same time. Simple things like the earth going dark when Jesus was crucified. Okay? That has been documented by historians. Okay? They say, well, it was a solar eclipse. In fact, there was a solar eclipse. That's something you can do scientifically. You can look at solar eclipses and you can know exactly when they're going to take place. There was no solar eclipse that day. However, there were historians writing for the Roman Empire that recorded the sun going dark in Jerusalem the time Jesus was crucified. Again, every bit of this is very easy to disprove. All you have to do is disprove that Jerusalem exists, Golgotha exists, the tomb exists, that the Roman Empire exists, that Herod exists, that Pilate exists, that Jesus existed. You have to, any one of those things, all of Christianity falls apart. However, through archaeological digs, they found Peter's house. Through archaeological digs, they found all of these things recorded. Again, this religion of all things, this belief system, the Bible should be the most easily disproved. In fact, it's one of the only ones that can be disproved. Yet Jesus dies not in secret. It's not like Buddha and some of the others who much of their lives is more of a myth or a legend. Jesus is crucified on the most holy day in the Jewish calendar. Okay, right after Passover. And he is crucified when Jerusalem is chock full of tens of thousands, if not millions, of people. Again, this should be very easy to disprove. If there never was a man named Jesus, that should be easy to disprove. If there never was a city called Jerusalem. So you go to other religions and they have myths, they have legends. Christianity is the only one that says, if you want to go with me, let's get on an airplane, let's go to Israel, let's go to Jerusalem, let's walk up and I'll show you where Jesus died and I'll show you where he was buried. And I'll take you to his grave and show you that it's empty. So Christianity should be the easiest religion on planet Earth to debunk. However, everyone who has tried to debunk it, when they begin to look at one event, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, cannot. Now, I agree that with creation, don't hear me wrong when I say this, I agree with creation. But we as Christians sometimes argue creation versus evolution and miss the whole point of Scripture. Where did the apostles begin? The resurrection. Listen, if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it doesn't take a stretch of imagination to say he created the whole world. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then does it really matter? So what the central teaching of Christianity hinges around one thing, and that is that there was a man named Jesus who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, was literally dead, was literally buried, and literally rose again from the dead. That is what our whole faith hinges on. Okay, when people get in debates, I don't even go to creation versus evolution. I don't even go to some of the other things and miracles and all of that. When I talked with an agnostic a couple weeks ago, you know, I talked about the resurrection. Because it is one of the most historically verifiable events in all of human history. If you were to say that the resurrection never took place, you would have to deny the vast majority of recorded history. So what I want to do is I want to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to begin not with necessarily what the Bible says, but with what the enemies of Jesus Christ said. Because what you're going to find is that much of Christianity is proven by people who hate Christianity. So for example, Jesus. Was Jesus a real person? According to the Roman historian, Josephus, Jesus was a real man. Josephus also happened to be a Jew. I don't know if you noticed, but Jews and Romans were the ones who crucified Jesus. And in Roman history, recorded by a Jew, Jesus Christ was a real person who came from Nazareth. Okay? Again, this is not someone who is in favor of Christianity. This is someone who's actually against Christianity. And he acknowledges that Jesus Christ was a real person. To this day, Jewish people acknowledge that Jesus was a Jew. That Jesus lived around AD 0. That Jesus lived going up into, you know, and died around AD 30, 32, 33, somewhere in that area. They acknowledge that. The Romans acknowledge that. They acknowledge that Jesus was a real person. Okay? And then you go from there. They also acknowledge that Jesus was crucified. Okay, that was the Romans' great way of killing people. The Romans had many ways of killing people, but that was their most torturous way of killing people. And many times there were historians that doubted that. There is no such thing as crucifixion. Then they started reading Roman history. Guess what Romans did? They crucified people. And that was the chosen mode of execution around AD 30. That's what they did. Again, these are not Christians writing this. These are people who hate Christianity writing this. They all acknowledge, Jews and Romans, that Jesus was crucified. You read the accounts in Scripture. Okay, the Jews were yelling and screaming for Jesus to die. The Romans were the ones who killed him. The Muslims have this theory that Jesus was a great prophet and Jesus didn't really die. Okay, this is their theory. And so another man was crucified in Jesus' place. That sounds kind of nice, and that there was a delusion and people just thought it was Jesus. There's just several problems with that. One, the Romans who killed him knew it was Jesus. The Jews who killed him knew it was Jesus, and his own mother was at the foot of his cross. You don't think a mother would recognize her own child. Again, this is something confirmed by people who hate Christianity. You go on from there. There's a theory that Jesus didn't really die. Okay? He just passed out. There's one problem with that. The Romans were experts with killing people. And the Romans made sure he was dead. You read the account in Scripture. What did they do? They came through. The Jews wanted them all dead. They're such loving people. They wanted all the people who were crucified, they wanted them dead, and wanted them dead right away so that they wouldn't have them desecrate their holy day. So they went and they broke the men's legs next to him. They thought Jesus was already dead. So to prove he was dead, they took a spear and ran it through his heart. And in case you wonder whether he was really dead, there was a medical doctor who wrote about his death. His name was Luke, and talked about how when he died, there would be a sack of fluid, kind of like congestive heart failure, around his heart. And then when the spear went through, water comes out and then blood comes out when the spear goes through his heart. Again, the Jews never, ever debated whether Jesus was dead. They knew he was dead because they watched him die. The Romans never debated whether Jesus was dead. They watched him die and they killed him. So when we begin to talk, there's a real Jesus who dies in Jerusalem. This is confirmed by people who hate Christianity, people who are not believers in Jesus Christ. They all agree he's dead. Now, there's a theory that Jesus was, since he died as a common criminal, was taken and thrown in the garbage dump. And the disciples made up the story that he rose again from the dead, but really he was just thrown in the garbage dump with the rest of the common criminals. Several problems with that. One, the Jews and the Romans all disagree with that. Hey, these are not Christians. These are people who hate Christianity. And guess what the Jews did? The Jews went and identified for Roman soldiers the burying place of Jesus Christ. The Jews did that. The Jews went and put a seal on his tomb with Roman soldiers, and the Roman soldiers guarded the tomb. Okay, this is not the disciples making up some story. The Jews and the Romans all identified Jesus' tomb. They all agreed he was dead, and they all agreed that he was buried in that tomb, which I think is the height of arrogance. When people 2,000 years later think they can figure out what happened right in front of people's noses, and they were too dumb to figure it out. No, they saw him die. They killed him and made sure he was dead. And they went to where he was buried, and they put soldiers to guard it with the very seal of the Roman government on his tomb. Well, the ladies went to the wrong tomb. They went to the wrong tomb. It was so early in the morning, and they were so grief-stricken. They went to the wrong tomb, and they said, Jesus is alive because the tomb is empty. By the way, the Christians themselves didn't even believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. They didn't believe it. Remember Thomas? Until I stick my finger in his hands, I won't believe it. Even the ladies, what Wesley read this morning, they didn't believe it. You find all the disciples, even though Jesus told them, I'm going to rise again from the dead, they're like, yeah, whatever. And then he rises from the dead, and they're like, what happened? Where'd he go? Who stole his body? In fact, you find that the Christians record not their belief, but their unbelief. Sir, can you tell me where you've taken his body? Isn't that what one of Jesus' followers said? Isn't that what Mary said in the garden? When she saw Jesus, she thought he was the garden. She thought he'd moved the body. Also, if this was the wrong tomb, why didn't the Jews and the Romans just say, guys, this is stupid. Let me show you the real tomb. Why didn't they produce his dead body? I mean, if they're not above killing a man who's innocent, do you think they'd be above pointing out his tomb? But the truth be told, the Jews and the Romans all agreed that that was the tomb in which Jesus was buried. And this is where it gets even more confirmed, is the Jews and the Romans all confirm that on the third day, something happened and the tomb was empty. Again, Jews and Romans, not Christians. This is what Jews and Romans said happened. That Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified, was buried in a particular tomb, and the third day, that tomb was empty. Well, maybe there was a secret passage. You can go to that tomb today if you want to, and you can go through it, and you can find the secret passage that's supposedly there. People have been going to it for 2,000 years. It's not there. The disciples stole his body. That's actually what's recorded in Matthew 28. That's what the Jews said. The disciples stole his body. The disciples stole his body. Now, that this is the theory that or the lie that the Jews put out and the Romans put out. But there's several things that you can do to prove this is a lie. One, if you read in the book of Acts, a Roman soldier who did not do his duty was executed. What happened when Peter was released from prison at night by an angel? What happened to those watching him the next morning? They were executed. Why were the soldiers who kept watch at Jesus' tomb not executed? Why were they not executed? They failed in their duty. Do you really think that a Roman general is going to let his soldiers get beaten and deceived by a bunch of ignorant fishermen? No. We have recorded what happened. They told the soldiers, you tell them that they came while you were sleeping, and they bribed the general so they wouldn't get executed. It's pretty easy. Any Roman soldier who doesn't keep his duty is executed. These soldiers weren't executed. There has to be an explanation for that. Not only that, but do you really think that the soldiers, okay, were really such sound sleepers that the disciples could come and roll away a stone that was so big that when 3, 4, 5 women were coming to the tomb, they were wondering who was going to roll it away? And now we kind of think of like little frail little women. We think of frail little Mary. Okay, this is 2,000 years ago. Okay, Mary could probably beat you up. Okay, these were real hardworking women who ground their own flour with their bare hands. Okay, these were women who milked the cow and milked the goat. And these were women who did a lot of manual labor, okay, while carrying 2 or 3 kids because they had 6, 7, 8, 10 kids. Okay, these were real women. Okay, they weren't worried about moving little stones. This was a stone big enough that where it takes several men to move it. And it just rolled away in the middle of the night with soldiers sleeping 5 feet away from it, and they didn't even notice. Jesus was buried with over 100 pounds of spices. At that time, the typical Jewish man would have been much shorter. I mean, Jesus was probably 5'1", 5'2". So he probably weighed in the 140 pounds, 150 pound weight range. You mean to tell me they're going to be able to take 260 pounds of dead weight out of a tomb, Jesus' body plus the spices, and the smell of the spices isn't going to wake them up? They're going to be able to roll that stone and move him away and not wake them up? They're going to be able to do this when it's pitch black and they can't see? May I remind you, these various disciples also ran from Jesus. You have Peter who was so wonderful with a sword that all he could do was cut a man's ear off. Have you ever thought of how ridiculously difficult it is to cut a man's ear off? Okay, that means you just got somebody just slashing wildly, because anybody that was trying would have cut his head off. And these guys all of a sudden got courage enough to risk their lives. But there's even something even greater about that lie. And that is this. Every single one of them except John died for that lie. I don't know about you, but I've lied before. I've lied to get out of spankings. I know Joey's probably had a lot of people lie to get out of speeding tickets. Okay, people lie all the time. How many of y'all would be willing to be executed for a lie you told? All you had to do was just say, sorry, I lied. Every single one of them died, except for John, and he was in prison until he was late 90s and died in prison. He was in exile. Why would they die for a lie? Even more than that. Say, oh, they want to establish a religion. Yeah, a religion that taught that they, as the apostles, were to be all men's servants, and they gave away everything they owned. There was no power. There was no prestige. There was no monetary gain. There was no sex. There was no wine, women, and song. In fact, they taught the exact opposite of that. Gave away everything they had, were willing to be beaten, and many of them died very horrific deaths, all because they refused to say that Jesus did not rise from the dead. I don't know about you, but if I'd stolen a man's body and lied about it, ain't no way I'm going to stay in prison for the rest of my life over a lie. And there is no way that you're going to beat me to death, that you're going to crucify me upside down the way Peter died over a lie. So the theory that the disciples lied is completely ridiculous. They just stole the body. These are men who ran. These are men who, after Jesus supposedly rose again from the dead, were hiding from Jesus, locked in a house. They were terrified. These were scared men. And yet they turn around and begin to preach that he rose again from the dead. And the response was not, hey, Jesus rose again from the dead, give me money. It was, Jesus rose again from the dead, you're poor, I'll give you my money. They go and find a man who's lame. I don't have any money. I can't help you. Okay, all of the reasons that someone might start a religion. I think I've told y'all before about Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. How the night that his wife caught him having an affair, he had a vision from God that polygamy was acceptable. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just such a great coincidence? God was sure watching out for him, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But each one of the disciples, they preached sexual chastity. What would motivate someone to live a life of poverty, abuse, sexual purity, and piety if they knew it was all based upon a lie? You know why most people lie? To get out of trouble, not create trouble. Most people lie to avoid pain, not to create pain. The disciples were telling the truth. There's another theory that's almost so ridiculous, but people hold on to it, but we have to talk about it, and that's called the swoon theory. And that is that Jesus didn't really die. He just passed out, and because they didn't have the medical technology we do today, they didn't realize that he was not dead. He just passed out. And so they buried him alive, and the tomb was really cool, and the spices act like smelling salts. And so he woke up, rolled the stone away, and slipped off in the darkness and told everyone he rose again from the dead. Now, there's several things about that that's utterly ridiculous. One, when a man was beaten by the Romans, he would be beaten almost beyond recognition. There are some accounts that when a man was whipped the way Jesus was whipped, that his kidneys would be visible from outside of his body. Okay, that is how bad Jesus was beaten. The Bible speaks of him being beaten beyond recognition. Like, think of how bad your back has to be torn up where a man can look and see your internal organs. You don't wake up from that 3 days later and roll a stone away. A spear through his heart. Really? He lived through that? He lived through a spear through his heart? Okay, even if Jesus had not died through all the beating and the crucifixion, okay, he would have died a day or two later with all the blood loss. They didn't have blood transfusions. You take someone like Jesus and do everything to him and put him in the state, you put him in Shan's emergency room and shove a spear through his heart. The doctors can't do anything. They can't. Also, the fact that Jesus would revive by spelling all these spices. Go read what happened to Lazarus when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Lazarus could barely even walk because he was wrapped up. When a Jew died, they would wrap spices around him and then they would wind strips of cloth tightly around him, almost like a mummy. Lazarus could barely walk out of the tomb doing a little mummy shuffle. Jesus rolled the stone away, overpowered the guards. There is no way that could have happened. Also, if, what was it, four or five women going to the tomb? If those women couldn't roll away the stone from the outside, what makes you think one weakened, beaten man could do it from the inside? Where was the leverage going to be? How was he going to do that? Hey, how many of y'all have ever had major surgery? Hey, how many of y'all know what happens the third day after major surgery? The third day after major surgery is the worst day, filled with the most pain. Ask anyone who's had open heart surgery, had any type of major surgery, they will tell you the third day is the most painful day. Okay, people who've had much less damage done to their bodies in hospitals on pain pills don't want to get out of bed the third day. And Jesus just jumped right up, rolled the stone away, and fought some guards barehanded and walked out. I'm not buying it. That takes more faith to believe than to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So, historically, logically, factually, if you look at the record of the people who are enemies of Christianity, the Jews and the Romans, you have to conclude that Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth, literally died, was literally buried in a tomb, the tomb that was empty 3 days later. And the only logical explanation from that is that Jesus rose again from the dead. Now, if you want even more proof than that, there were over 500 people, the number is around 515 people, who saw Jesus with their very own eyes after he was raised from the dead. Now, I want you to think about a trial. How many eyewitnesses does it take to have someone found guilty of murder? One? Two? Three? What if you had 500? 500 eyewitnesses. Now, there's some people come with some really good theories here. One is that they got into a little bit of wine or some really strong mushrooms or some hallucinogenics, and so they were all a little high and they kind of saw some stuff. And so that's why they went around doing that. Okay. I personally have never used drugs, but I have counseled with many people who have. When you get on a acid trip or on mushrooms or any type of drugs, normally it's not a very pleasant experience. I've worked construction, and I've talked with all kinds of people. I've worked with people that use every type of drug known to man. Okay, that was not a pleasant experience. They knew they were high, and they knew what they saw wasn't real, and there's no way they would die for it. Secondly, if you have two people on the same drug, and they're both hallucinating, they don't see the same thing. They don't. One person's seeing rainbows and puppy dogs, the other's seeing the popcorn ceiling turn to lava. Okay? That's the way it is. 500 people saw the exact same thing, heard the exact same words, and they were all high or drunk or hallucinating. That does not happen. Especially from people who preach and teach that you should be in your right mind, and who preach and teach against drunkenness. People who were very, very sober-minded people. These were not people who were having drunken parties. These are people who preached against this and taught against this and lived differently than that. The idea that 500 of them would have the same hallucination is nuts. That's what's called grasping at straws. But I want you to stop and I want you to think this question. How much of recorded history has less than 500 eyewitnesses that you believe to be true? Et tu, Brute? There weren't 500 senators in the Senate at that time when Caesar was killed. Okay. How many people do you think were in the Ford Theater when Lincoln was assassinated? How many people were eyewitnesses of John Wilkes Booth killing him? Less than 500. I mean, you could go through. I mean, George Washington crossing the Delaware. There weren't 500 people in the boats. You can go through so much of recorded history, so many things that we did, the iconic moments of history, that there are less than 500 people present. And yet we hold every single one of those things to be true, to be real. But let's be honest. I mean, more people, never mind, I won't even go there. But most of history, has less than 500 eyewitnesses. The vast majority of recorded history. Things that we take as facts. Now, I find it very ironic, too, that whenever people find an old manuscript, they read it from the eyewitness account and say it's true. Like, people don't argue with what Josephus said. However, when you find four people who write accounts of Jesus' life, everyone says, oh, they're lying. Okay. Again, we have 500 eyewitnesses. And when Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians, he begins to name names. And he essentially says in 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to go talk to them, let me know and I'll give you their names. Okay. This is something where you could do an independent corroborating account, where you could go from one person to another person. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you see? What did you hear? And by the way, in case you think this is ridiculous, remember Thomas. Thomas had 10 of his closest friends say, we saw him alive, and Thomas said, you're crazy. Okay, the way most people are when you say Jesus rose from the dead, they say you're crazy. Thomas thought they were crazy until he saw him himself. Okay, Jesus has risen from the dead. That is one of the most documented historical, logical, scientific, factual things ever. But in case there was any more evidence needed, there's one thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, one thing about Christianity that puts in a different category than other people and other religions and other belief systems. And that is, according to Christianity in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead changes people radically. What you will find is that when people are truly born again, this is something that we've lost in our Christian subculture of our day, where we just get people and try to fill pews and have numbers and get people baptized and put them on church rolls and all that. But if you study real, true biblical Christianity, what you will find is you will find people radically transformed literally in a moment. People whose mouths are completely changed literally in a moment. Many of you in here could stand up and talk about how you went from being an alcoholic to sober literally overnight. How you went from being sexually immoral to sexually pure literally overnight. How you went from lusting everything that wore a skirt to all of a sudden your eyes were pure literally overnight. That your mouth was the mouth of a sailor and the next morning it wasn't. How does that happen? Christian hypnotism. How does that happen? There is no therapy, psychology, or psychiatry. There is no medication on planet Earth that can make that type of transformation in a person's life. It is literally as if they were dead and then they came to life. As if they were one person and the next day they were someone else. That is, to me, in my opinion, one of the greatest evidences that Christ rose from the dead. Show me a religion where a man goes from being filled with hatred to filled with love literally overnight. Isn't it normally the exact opposite with religion? Where a man becomes a certain religion and decides he'll go kill himself and kill other people? Christianity is the exact opposite. It is a radical transformation of the life that is so radical, it's as if someone was dead and was raised to life. And that, to me, is one of the greatest testimonies of the power of the resurrection, that Jesus today still raises people to new life. So I want to teach this morning. One, for as a Christian, I need to be reminded of this. Because sometimes as I read, I'll read atheist arguments and I'll read people who blast the Bible and blast this and talk about how you're bigoted this, you're stupid that, you're in a cult that. And sometimes you read it and you go, oh, maybe I am. I don't know, have you ever done that? Maybe I'm the only crazy person. That you read people and go, yeah, maybe I am crazy for believing this stuff. But then when you go back, did Jesus rise again from the dead? There's only one answer. There is no other possible explanation for what happened. And if Jesus rose again from the dead, then it doesn't matter what anyone else says. That proves everything. I remember hearing the testimony of a man, and the man used to be an atheist, believed in evolution, all that type of stuff, and then one day he decided he was going to believe in creation. So I asked him why. He said, because God did such a radical transformation in my life, I had to believe it. He was saved, and because he was saved, then he believed the rest of Scripture. Where does Peter start? Peter starts with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, listen, there are tons of things. You know, for the Hittites, real people. That was debated for many years until they actually found out the Hittites were real people, like the Bible says. But people will debate those type of things. Was David a historical figure? Did Noah's flood cover the whole earth? You know where you need to begin? Did Jesus rise again from the dead? People, well, what does the Bible say about children and all? Listen, did Jesus rise again from the dead? Okay, Christianity, again, is the most falsifiable religion in the world. And everyone wants to talk about all these little tenets out there. And they don't ever want to attack the main castle, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you know what? When you have that, everything else falls into line. And yes, there are mornings that I wake up and go, why am I doing this? Why are we doing this as a family? It'd be so much easier if we didn't do this. We'd have so much more money if we didn't do this. It'd be so much nicer if we did that. And then I go, wait, no. Has Jesus Christ risen from the dead? If he has, then everything he teaches matters. Everything he says matters. And that is what confirms my faith. And so one of the reasons I teach on this is I know that many of you in here are Christians. And you know what? You're going to get battered and bashed every day as being an ignorant fool for believing that little book that's thousands of years old written by man. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. You're not a fool. The fool is the person who believes that Jesus passed out on the cross and woke up and fought a whole bunch of guards by himself barehanded and then everybody died for the lie. That's the fool. Okay. So I want to speak that for a Christian. But also as a Christian, when you begin to share the gospel, sometimes people don't want to share the gospel because they're going to ask me questions I don't know the answer to. Okay, how many of you have ever done that? Well, they're going to ask me about, well, why is homosexuality wrong? And I don't have an answer for that. You know what? Just go back and say, look, where's Jesus' body? I can't answer all your other questions, but I can tell you this. Jesus rose again from the dead and changed my life. If you notice, you look through Jesus, Jesus asked all kinds of questions. Questions to this day I still have a hard time with. I am going slow through the Gospel of John, but there's a passage in I think it's chapter 13 or chapter 12 that I'm still wrestling with. So I'm like, well, I'll go a little bit slower this week and give me a couple more weeks to figure it out. There's a question Jesus has asked that I don't even know the answer to. But where did Jesus always go back to? He always went back to the Gospel, always went back to the Gospel, always go back to the Gospel. Listen, you're going to have people ask you questions and you're not going to be able to answer them. But you know what? You have a question they can't answer. Did Jesus rise again from the dead? Yes or no? Where is his body? What happened to him? I remember talking with an agnostic about it. And he had, well, you know, what about creation and evolution? What about Jesus? I don't know. I've never really looked into it. I can't talk about that. Well, I can. I know that. I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's done in the life of my family. I know what he's done in some of your lives. I know the transformation and change he's brought about. Listen, whenever you're sharing the gospel with someone, the gospel and the good news is that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and there is a new life found in him. Don't get caught up in all the other stuff. Don't get caught up in all the things that you don't know the answers to. Listen, I don't know the answers to many questions. But I do know this, Jesus rose again from the dead. And it's such a strengthening thing for my faith. But also, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I have to ask you a simple question. What happened to Jesus? Where's his body? Why were the disciples willing to die? Jesus rose again from the dead. As we talked about at 8 o'clock, that means he is Lord in Christ. That means you need to repent and give your life to him. There is no middle ground. There is no other option. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and he is Lord. He sits upon the throne of his Father and he is returning. And you need to make terms with him before he returns. You need to come to peace. You need to seek forgiveness of sins. You know, we live in a day where people are, who am I going to vote for? Oh my goodness, what about this law that's going to be passed? Or that law that's going to be passed? What about the EPA's regulations on this? And people get so caught up in all of these things, trying to decipher who's going to win the election and who to vote for and why it'll be bad, so bad if so-and-so gets elected. You need to first deal with Jesus Christ. We are such foolish people. We spend our lives on things that do not matter. Who's going to win the Final Four? Because if you win the office bracket, who cares? Well, I wonder if I'm going to be able to mow the grass this weekend. Who cares? What about your soul? What about your soul? Did Jesus rise again from the dead? Yes or no? If he did, then repent and be baptized, give him your life. If he didn't, what happened to him? It's a question no one has ever been able to answer. Which brings me back to Christianity is the only falsifiable religion in the world. It should be pretty easy to prove this one wrong. Okay, you can talk about magic tricks. Okay, this is one in public. This is something he did in public with tens of thousands of people there. He was publicly crucified. This is not something that happened in some tent in the deserts of Saudi Arabia. This isn't some guy in his house getting golden plates from heaven. This is a man who is publicly crucified, publicly dies, and publicly rises from the dead, and you can go visit his tomb today. And it's still empty. You have to come to terms with that. If Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, that changes everything. And if he didn't rise from the dead, what happened? And that's something that each one of us needs to come to grips with. And it's either going to change our lives one way or the other. If he's risen from the dead, you owe him your life. If he hasn't, then why do you even believe in morality or anything? Why do you believe in right, wrong, heaven, hell, God? It's all a myth and fairy tale and lie anyway. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father,